Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 7, and I'll be reading the verses 36 through 50. Luke chapter 7, the verses 36 through 50. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Behold, a woman of the city was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. Standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered, saying to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. They could not pay. He canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." That's the reading of God's word this morning from Luke chapter 7. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, in just a few days, we will come to that very important anniversary in church history. October 31, 2017 is the 500th year anniversary when Martin Luther went to the Wittenberg door and nailed the 95 theses to the door. And that sparked the beginning of the Protestant Reformation, bringing churches back in line with the teaching of the Bible. For much of his life, Luther had been consumed with the question as to how could he be made right with God. He devoted his life to the church, becoming a monk and living in a monastery. He sought to live his life in devotion to God's commandments, isolating himself from the temptations of the world. But Luther found that no matter how obedient he tried to be, he could not find peace in his soul until he understood, as he read in the book of Romans, the doctrine of justification by faith alone, no works on his part. Once he understood that only Jesus could forgive him, and that only Jesus' righteousness was enough righteousness to make him right with God, it was only then that he could understand what it meant in his heart to be at peace with God. In our text today, we have someone similar to the young monk devoted Luther. We have Simon the Pharisee, who had devoted his life to the law and obedience to the law and understanding the teaching of the law and pointing out how others had failed to obey the law. And as a Pharisee, we have been told that he and the other Pharisees, we are told in chapter 7, verse 30, had rejected the purpose of God for their lives. That means when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, they have rejected that purpose of God, the way of salvation that the Lord Jesus has come to bring along with John the Baptist. They have rejected that way of salvation, the purpose of God for their lives. They think of their own righteousness, not a need for the righteousness of Christ. As Pharisees, they thought about the restoration and the continued worship at the Jewish temple on earth, not that he was the temple that would replace that Old Testament system. They wanted an earthly kingdom in the earthly nation of Israel, not a heavenly kingdom that he came to bring. And yet, this Pharisee is interested in Jesus. He invites Jesus to his house for a meal, and a woman who is a sinner enters into the home. And the loving actions of the woman, Jesus displays before Simon and the other Pharisees the salvation plan of God. For on the one hand, we have a woman who understands what it means to be forgiven and to be at peace with God. And we have a Pharisee who has tried to be a good person but doesn't understand. And Jesus, by bringing this to the attention of Simon, exposes what's wrong in his heart and what's wrong with all the Pharisees who have rejected him and who are planning behind the scenes to get rid of him because they have rejected the purpose of God for their lives. By way of contrast this morning, our text is asking you, the listeners today, do you understand this contrast? Do you understand the grace of God that the woman does? Or will you, like Simon, be exposed? As we look at our text today, we start with the structure. You notice there is a particular structure to the overall verses. And on each side of the parable, we have the woman's actions described, followed up by the other side of the parable with the interpretation that Jesus gives us of the woman's actions. Actions which are repeated, vocabulary which is repeated. And that means that at the center of our text, the main point that Jesus wants to get across is what takes place in the parable that he tells. In the parable, verse 41, we have a moneylender, and the moneylender has two debtors, and one debtor owes 500 denarii, a year's and a half worth of wages he owes, and the other 50, some 2 months' worth of wages he owes. One debtor is over a year and a half behind in his house payment. The other, only 2 months, he might make it up. But the year and a half debtor may never make it up. Jesus tells us in verse 42 that the moneylender realizes they could not pay. And so we're told that the moneylender decides to cancel the debt of both. Now, if you have the New Revised Standard Version, a more literal translation of the original Greek, it's worded this way: he graciously forgave them both. There is no initiative on the part of the two debtors. They don't initiate this. It is the moneylender who initiates this. The debt is forgiven not because of anything they have done. It wasn't because they were in the thinking of the moneylender as saying, well, you know, these two debtors have been good to me. No mention about that. It isn't because somehow the moneylender looks at them and says, well, you know, they're trying hard, they're doing their best, I'm just going to forgive that debt. It isn't because the money lender looks at them and says, you know, these two debtors, they're nice people. I like their families. They just can't pay, so I'm going to forget it because, you know what, I just really like them. This money lender, by his own initiative, graciously forgave and canceled the debt. That's what it tells us. That's all Jesus tells us in the parable. And once the money lender graciously forgives their debt, he goes on to say in the rest of the verse with this question for Simon. Now, which of them will love him more? When Jesus is asking Simon the meaning of the parable, he wants to know if Simon understands its meaning and the kind of salvation that has come, the salvation that Jesus has come to bring. Jesus asks him this question, and Simon answers in verse 43, saying, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Now, you've seen that word before in Luke 7. You may remember at the last part of last week's sermon message in chapter 7, we had a contrast taking place. We had Pharisees who had rejected the purpose of God for themselves. But there were also sinners and tax collectors, verse 29, who had declared God just. That means that they understood the salvation plan of God. They understood that John the Baptist had come to call sinners to repentance. And they understood that God had sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay for the sins of sinners and to rise again for salvation. And they understood that this salvation plan of God was just. But now Jesus uses that same word when he speaks to Simon. And as Simon has declared his understanding, well, certainly the debtor who owed more would certainly love the moneylender more because the greater debt has been paid. Jesus tells him, "You have answered, or just, you have judged rightly." Simon understands something. He understands the meaning of the parable. He even understands something about the grace and forgiveness of God and having your debt paid and the response that would take place in turning love for the moneylender or love for the one who had forgiven the debt. Simon understands all those things. Jesus even credits him with his understanding that, yes, you have judged rightly. But nevertheless, Jesus continues on, and by way of this woman who enters into Simon's house, he lays out a contrast between one who loves Jesus and points out to Simon's heart that he does not. In verse 41, we're told that the Pharisees have asked Jesus, or one of the Pharisees, that's Simon, have asked Jesus to eat within his house. Now, you remember again, earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has been eating in various homes. And one particular home was the home of Levi. Jesus was invited by Levi, the tax collector, into his home, and he was enjoying a meal with Levi and his tax collector's friends, and the Pharisees saw Jesus eating that meal and said, "Why is he eating with those sinners?" In fact, we even were told previously in verse 34 that they are saying of him who is eating and drinking with sinners that he is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But now this Pharisee invites him into his home, his very own home, with fellow Pharisees that aren't considered great sinners. And he asks Jesus to eat with them. And Jesus goes into the Pharisee's house and reclines at the table. And there a woman, we're told, verse 37, a woman of the city who was a sinner. the description we're given of this woman is that she was a known sinner, a woman of the city, a sinner who has a reputation. What it was that this woman was doing, the text does not specifically say to us. Could she have been a runaway from her family or from her parents? Could she have gone through an illegitimate divorce, non-biblical divorce? Could she be a woman of the city who engages in the sinful activities of the city? None of that information is given us, but what we are told is that this woman has a reputation as a sinner. And the last place a woman like that would ever want to go is in the home of a Pharisee. We know that from previous passages, don't we? We know that from Levi's home, the tax collector's home. These Pharisees are judgmental. These Pharisees see people like this and think they shouldn't be around people like this, and certainly they wouldn't want a sinner like this to touch them. This is exactly what we're told Simon is thinking about later on in the text, verse 39. This Pharisee is saying to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. If he were a prophet, if he were a man for God, from God, this woman would not touch him. He wouldn't let her. And yet we're told that this woman, verse 37, when she learned that Jesus was in the Pharisee's house and that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And again you say to yourself, why would she even go in there? But the verse is critical when it tells us that she learned that he was reclining at the table. It's not as if she's just walking by and she just happens to see Jesus in this house and she thinks, okay, I'm gonna go in and see him or listen to what he has to say. She has learned previously that the Lord Jesus is in this house. And because of what the Lord Jesus has done for her, this sinner, this woman who has a reputation in the city, she is not afraid to enter into a Pharisee's house. She doesn't care what the Pharisees think about her. She doesn't care what people say about her. She doesn't care about the crowd or her reputation. All she cares about at this point is that she has been a sinner and Christ is in this house and she wants to go and express her love and thankfulness for her Savior who is there. So we're told her actions, verse 38, and there are three. We're told that standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she begins to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now some people, as they have written about this text, begin to question about some of these actions of the woman. They identify her as a woman of the city. As a woman of the city, perhaps she's being seductive to Jesus here in our text. Perhaps she's living out her reputation as a woman of the city. But Jesus doesn't let us go down that road. For in verses 44 to 47, he tells Simon about what she's done and what it means. The actions are repeated, only now Jesus is speaking to Simon, pointing out the actions of the woman as to what she is doing compared to what he has not been doing. Look what it tells us, verse 44. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment." You see, Jesus has interpreted her actions. This woman who has previously heard the gospel, and saw Jesus in this room of Pharisees, and not being afraid to enter the room, she doesn't care what people think about her. She goes because her Savior is there. And by her actions, she shows that she now identifies her life with him. She knows that her sins are washed away. Her actions show that the grace of God has come to her, that the debt, the great debt for her sin, has been paid. And in her actions before the Pharisees, but that doesn't matter to her, before Jesus, her actions are saying, I love you, I worship you, Lord. Lord, I will identify with your death and resurrection that forgives my sins and takes away my debt. That's what she understands. That's what she understands about the grace of God that has come to her, just like we saw in the parable. But Simon doesn't understand that grace. Look how Jesus explains it to Simon in verse 47. He goes on in that verse to say, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Why is Jesus being so specific to Simon the Pharisee the way he is? Because in verse 39, as we pointed out earlier, Simon is speaking to himself. Simon the Pharisee is speaking to himself about this woman that has come into his house, this woman who is touching Jesus, and he recognizes Jesus as somebody from God, as perhaps a prophet. But having seen what the woman is doing, he concludes, well, no, Jesus must not be a prophet from God, because if he were a prophet, he wouldn't let a sinner like this sort of woman, touch him, for she is a sinner. And so Jesus tells him the parable. Jesus asks him the answer to the parable. He even declares to Simon that he has judged rightly in saying, certainly the one who has been forgiven more would love the money lender more. And then he takes Simon and said, look at this woman and look at her actions and the failure of your actions. And then he concludes by saying to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Jesus is teaching Simon a lesson about God's grace. He's put the parable right to him. And Jesus has exposed what's missing from Simon's life. You may notice throughout this particular parable that it starts out in the first half of the parable describing Simon as the Pharisee. We're not given Simon's name until we get to Simon speaking to himself in verse 40 and Jesus pointing it out. Throughout the rest of the text, Jesus describes him by name. Jesus knows his name. He has moved from being identified as the Pharisee and the owner of the house to Simon and hearing the parable directly from the Lord. But Simon does not understand what's come into his house in the Savior and the grace that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought. This woman learned that Jesus was in the house. This woman loves Jesus. not because of her love, which has given her that grace. Jesus has already loved her. Jesus has already forgiven her. And her actions are in response to the grace of God that has come into her heart. The ground of her salvation is not her love and what she's doing. The ground of her salvation is what Jesus did. And her love is in response to what Jesus has done. Jesus is the moneylender. Jesus has taken the initiative. Jesus has come to earth. He's going to die on the cross to pay for her sins and cancel her debt. The woman sees herself as unworthy of that grace. And that's why Jesus said to Simon, "Look at this woman, Simon. Look at her attachment to me. This woman is attached to me. But Simon, you have no relationship with me. For you, Simon, as I've come into your house, I'm not even worthy of your hospitality." Look at the actions of this sinner who knows and understands the grace and forgiveness of God compared to you, Simon, who have shown none of those actions toward me. Your heart, Simon, says that you don't need me, that you have no need for the righteousness because you have your own, that you have no need for me to die because you have your temple, that you have no need for heaven because you have your kingdom on earth. Simon, you think you're a good person because you're religious. You've tried to live a good life. You're trying to keep the commands. But you have no relationship with the Savior that God has sent. Look at the difference, Simon. I am at the center of this woman's life. She knows she's a sinner and must repent. She knows that the debt must be paid. She knows that she has a relationship with me because she loves me much. But Simon, I am clearly not at the center of your life because, like the rest of the Pharisees, repentance and the forgiveness of sins and faith in Jesus Christ is not at the center of the life of the Pharisees. And there in front of all those Pharisees, Jesus said something publicly about this woman with a reputation, this woman of the city, a known sinner. Before them all, he tells her, verse 48, "Your sins are forgiven." The Greek word for forgiven, that verb, is used in the perfect tense. It's a tense we don't have in English. It's not as if it's just a forgiveness from the past, but isn't continuing to the present. It's not a present forgiveness that wasn't there before and now has come upon her. It's not a future forgiveness that will someday come, but a perfect tense forgiveness. It means that at some time previously, Jesus forgave her sins, for she had knowledge of him before she ever entered the house. And that forgiveness in the perfect tense is an ongoing forgiveness. He is now expressing it to her and expressing it before the Pharisees in a public way. Your sins are forgiven. But those at the table, verse 49, who were with him, the Pharisees reclining with him, began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" They're questioning him. They're questioning, just like they did previously when the paralyzed man was healed, Who is this who can forgive sins? And Simon the Pharisee is likely right there with them. But Jesus responds again to the woman, verse 50, saying to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." See the difference? Simon, he's not come to Jesus in faith. But this woman whose sins have been forgiven enters the house in faith. Faith is the instrument. It's the response that God has brought about in her heart to come unto the Savior. A faith which she expresses in her actions, demonstrating her love. Simon and the other Pharisees have been exposed. They don't have that kind of faith. Do you see the contrast this morning between the woman and Simon? Jesus took the initiative, just like in the parable. The woman was guilty of sin, a known sinner in the city without hope, but he forgave her of her sins. And by coming to him in faith the way she did, she knows and has demonstrated an understanding of that forgiveness that has gone on in her heart. She believes by faith that her sins are washed away. She comes to him in faith, knowing that he alone could forgive those sins and give her peace with God, that God's salvation plan alone is a just plan. And now she has peace with God. Do you see in the woman how you should respond this morning as you come before God and his table displaying that grace? You come this morning with Jesus having taken the initiative in your heart. His grace has been poured out to you on the cross, your sins having been washed away, demonstrating that you belong to him, that you now have a relationship with him. You are not deterred by what other people might say about you coming here, or what they might think of you, or how they might look at you, or your past sins that others know. Or how great of sin in your heart that you know, but maybe others don't. It doesn't matter what you've done. That same grace has brought you here today. And because of what Christ did for you, because of his death and resurrection, because he has forgiven you, because you now have a relationship with him, you devote your life in service and demonstrating that love you have for him. But in contrast, this morning we have Simon the Pharisee and Jesus exposing what's wrong with him, a parable spoken to him. He's invited Jesus even into his house. Jesus asks him about the parable, and he knows in his head the right answer. Jesus points to the woman who has been forgiven and has demonstrated the actions of somebody who is in relationship with the Savior, how she understands by way of gratitude in her actions what Jesus has done for her. A love that Simon does not have. And as Luke concludes this story, we're left hanging without an answer as to whether Simon ever came to understand that forgiveness and grace that Jesus had exposed was missing from his heart. Simon is not mentioned in the book of Luke again. This particular Simon can't be identified anywhere else in the gospel. But Martin Luther came to understand that grace. Simon doesn't in our text. Simon has been exposed. Because when he came to Jesus, he's still holding on to his works. He thinks he's a pretty good person. Doesn't need the kind of Savior that Jesus is. And the woman walks away with her sins forgiven and at peace. But Simon is not at peace. This morning, as you gather here, the grace of God is on display for all sinners. Jesus has taken the initiative. He has died on the cross to forgive your sins, and he has called you and brought you here. You don't come here this morning thinking that you're a good person. You don't come thinking that by your works you're worthy of being here and having your place at the table. You don't come here thinking you don't really need a Savior because you're good enough. But you who are invited here by faith, come knowing that he alone is the only way that you can have your sins forgiven. You come and have the opportunity to partake by what God has previously done in your heart. That you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That you have come to know that your sins are forgiven. That the implication is an ongoing, continual forgiveness that is in your heart. And now as you gather at a place where he is the host at this table, as you partake by your actions, like the woman in our text, you come saying, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I have come this morning to identify with your death and resurrection, knowing that my sins and debt has been taken away, and your grace and you are at the very center of my life. You come by faith. You come by faith that this is true. You come recognizing what God has done in your heart, that he's brought you here, and that he will send you away in peace. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for that wonderful grace of Christ, for that salvation, to know that the debt for our sins have been paid. Lord, we know that we are sinners. As we've gathered here, we know the sins that are of our own. Father, there may be others who don't know of them. There may be others who know. And maybe, Lord, the whole world, the whole city knows. But Lord, as we've gathered here, there's no sin too great for your forgiveness. For you've called us here to understand this grace and salvation, to know that our sins are paid for. And you've called us to this place to participate in this meal with our Savior as the host, to know that as we gather, when we partake, we have the opportunity, like this woman in our text, to display by our participation the love we have for our Savior who has forgiven us. May we not come, O Lord, thinking that we're worthy by our actions or by our obedience, by our keeping of the law, but may we only come knowing that our Savior has paid it all, that only in him are we worthy to come, that only he can give us peace in our heart with you. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.